Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Finally, our focus of Advent turns to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. Tomorrow, if the Lord doesn't return today, the whole world will begin commemorating Jesus' birth on Christmas Eve. The gospel announces that the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy is now imminent. In fact, even at the moment as the word of God is spoken to Mary by the angel, God brings to fulfillment the promise of our epistle, a body you have prepared for me. Tiny, but already conceived in the Virgin. And as the scriptures teach, life begins at conception. But what of the prophecy of too little Bethlehem? Coming to a poor girl in Nazareth. Micah, the prophet, is given this benefit, this blessing of proclaiming, well, the site of where this birth is going to occur. And Micah, his name literally means, who is like the Lord? Micah was a contemporary of the prophets Isaiah and Amos and Hosea. His message was harsh. He proclaimed the coming destruction of Samaria and Judah. Yet God gives Michael the privilege to extend his promise of mercy also, as our text proclaims the site of the Messiah's birth. This Messiah's earthly lineage can be traced back to David. Even David's birth home, Bethlehem, that is House of Bread, the largest city in the territory of Ephrathah. This, you see, Emmanuel, God with us, is the one promised to Adam and Eve who will crush the head of Satan. This long-awaited Messiah is the one who shepherds his flock and brings in his peace. Jesus is our promised peace, you see. The text reads, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." Ephrathah distinguishes this Bethlehem of Judah from Bethlehem of Zebulun. Bethlehem Ephrathah is located a few miles southwest of Jerusalem, and from this little fruitful house of bread is born the very bread of life for all mankind. It's interesting to look through the promises as this Old Testament continues to sharpen our focus to prepare us for the events that we are preparing for. You remember Adam and Eve fell into sin, and then yet God gave them the promise of a deliverer, one who would crush the serpent's head. And yet Eve, she thought when Cain was born that was the one. "I have gotten the man with the help of the Lord," literally. And through the ages, this promise becomes, well, increasingly more specific, as we learned rather quickly that Cain wasn't the one, as he turns out to be a murderer. In Genesis 12, we learn the nationality given. "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed," as the promise is given to Abram. Jacob sharpens our focus as the tribe of Judah as he blesses his sons in Genesis 49. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." And from that tribe, we are told in the Psalms that the Messiah will be of the line of David, as the psalmist records in Psalm 89, "Of old you spoke in the vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty. I exalted one chosen from my people, from the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him." And then Micah's contemporary, the prophet Isaiah, is given the privilege to tell us that the Messiah's divine and human natures, when he proclaims, when Isaiah said to Ahaz, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Micah confirms this prophecy when he speaks of the Messiah's eternal nature, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days, and the declared place for the Messiah's birth. Even the great King Herod should have known of these prophecies. Jesus is from everlasting, or as we confess in the creeds, Jesus is begotten, not made. As John confesses that the Word that became flesh is the same Word at the beginning that created all, heaven and earth and all that is in it. This child of Bethlehem, he is the source of all peace. The text says, "And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." And yet we don't feel very shepherded. Certainly not shepherded by a shepherd who's giving us peace. Peace seems like a complete and total pipe dream. We are at war as a country. We are at war in our own communities. Rich and poor, races against each other. We are at war within our own families. Struggles and strifes. And the worst of them all is we're at war within our own bodies. They attack us each and every day, reminding us each and every morning, well, the day is drawing that much nearer. So where's this peace? It's enough to cause those who are weak in their faith, well, to doubt God's provision, to turn like Israel to the grand, to the awesome, to the powerful for their peace, choosing to trust in rulers and wealth and might. But that's not how God operates. He has chosen the simple and the small to provide for our needs. He has given his word and sacrament to bring us peace, even when everything seems to be falling apart and falling down around us. He has chosen to work through sinners like us to provide for the needs of our neighbors, even though we really don't want to. And he has chosen to conquer death by dying itself. He has chosen to give his gifts through a word proclaimed by sinful men like me, and his word and promises joined to bread and wine and water, to mark you and join you to himself, to wash you clean and declare you forgiven. Nothing grand, nothing awesome, just peace offered. You see why it makes sense that God chose Bethlehem Ephrathah, the least of the clan of Judah, to bring forth the promised Messiah Jesus, the anointed peace bringer from the womb of a virgin? Because it is exactly how we wouldn't have done it. True peace comes not from us. It comes only from God. Drawn by faith, we then go to him to find rest and health and all our needs of body and soul. And so we come today again to repent of our sins, to be forgiven of our sins, and to be made right in right relationship with God. You see, our good shepherd Jesus satisfies his sheep by leading us to the green pastures and still waters. For the peace of his sheep, this shepherd will lay down his life and take it up again. Jesus is the only shepherd who gives his sheep eternal life, promising us what we will, that we will never perish, since no one can snatch us out of his hands. As our good shepherd, Jesus is our source then of a perpetual peace, a peace that passes all human understanding. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Micah proclaims that the citizens of this ruler's empire will now and for eternity live securely, for his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. The security of the empire will never be breached. His victory is complete. No enemies are left. None can stand against him. Even sin, death, and the devil are defeated. So into this world of chaos comes the Lord of life and the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, God with us, coming to Bethlehem to bring his promised, present, and perpetual peace to his people, you and me. This is his gift now and forevermore. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.